Hey, hey, it's Fat Mascara.
I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
Welcome.
Welcome. We're like careening towards the end of the summer. By the time you listen to this, it's like the last week of August.
That's right. And next week, I'm going to be away because it's my honeymoon.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Botswana.
For how long?
For like 2 weeks. You know, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with the BBC's like Planet Earth documentaries, yeah. Nature documentaries. I have been my whole entire life. I've had like Okavango Delta in my mind. Like someday I will get there and I will see the hippos and the everything. So I'm going to the Okavango Delta. Like I'm almost peeing my pants. If I see a hippo like in its natural environment, I'm speechless. Can you picture a little?
But wait a second. You and I met in Ghana, basically.
Did you remember seeing a hippo walking around?
We didn't see a hippo, but
I've
we did
them in
see
water.
Like elephants. We saw some cool stuff. Okay. So let's not make it seem like you've never been to Africa.
I know, but if I see a hippo outside of water, just a cute little baby hippo waddling
that's cute.
Around.
Oh, baby.
I'm going to freak out. Anyway, so I'll be on honeymoon, but we're going to run one of our favorite episodes next week. So you're not going to be dark. There's still going to be your fat
and
mascara.
And we're thinking of you guys.
Fits.
We're not trying to leave you in a pinch, but she's got to get out there. She's got to celebrate her marriage.
I do. Now, let's talk about our podcast for a moment before we talk about our topics and our wonderful guest. It has come to our attention. Yes. So there are lots of new podcasts out there. There's lots of beauty podcasts out there. And there's lots of these paid podcasts out there where like a brand sponsors a podcast or someone gets paid to put someone on their podcast. Jess, can you explain to everybody how our podcast works so everybody knows?
Here's how it works. Jen and I think someone's cool. So we email them and we say, would you like to be on our show? They come and they get no money. They come for free.
Well, we don't get money either for them.
Yeah, like, no. They get this is $0 is exchanged between the two of us.
This isn't branded content or native advertising or
yes.
hidden.
And then someone wrote somewhere that like, you know, Jen and Jess get paid to talk about the products. Listen, we're talking about some Shantikai thing I love for Razor One, or Jen's talking about peaches or clementines or, you know, whatever it is. This is genuinely like our editorial with a capital E decision. Now, do we get products gratis through work? Yes. But nobody's saying, you need to talk about this in Fat Mascara. Like, that's the quid pro quo.
Not at all. And also, we do sometimes go on press trips, which is part of our day job with brands that are important because they want to introduce a new product. You do not get money to go on these press trips. We try not to we definitely don't let it influence us on Fat Mascara. Like,
absolutely,
just because I went on a trip, I'm going to talk about a product. There's no like pay for play like
that. That's why we have this thing, baby, so we can call the shots.
Yes.
Okay.
We will say, if something is paid for, like our sponsors, which we call sponsors, we will clearly let you know and we will continue to do that as we continue the podcast. We will call it out so you know that this person is a sponsor. Please also know we've turned down sponsors.
We've turned down probably, I would say, like almost half of those. Yeah, easily.
We're not going to talk about something that we don't believe in or recommend it to you or give you a discount code if we ourselves haven't tried it or recommend it. And just so you know, we do get money for those sponsorships, but they go to offset the production costs of the podcast.
Sadly, this podcast is not free.
We are
us.
In a rented studio with producer Molly. She ain't cheap.
Yeah. And I do want to give you guys a heads up. This fall, you can expect some branded episodes.
Yes.
They will be dropping on a different day than our normal Tuesday.
And clearly marked to be from sponsors, so you understand that that doesn't mean it's going to be any less amazing.
Yeah, we're not working with brands or folks who we think are snooze.
Yeah.
Like, they're exciting episodes, but this is, you know, unfortunately, we don't have someone like funding us, and this has been self-funded.
I mean, we've been self-funding it for 3 years.
We have been self-funding it. we're our daddy warbox. So
yeah.
I hope you guys can understand. I hope you guys, this makes sense. If you have any questions, please shoot us an email, info@fatmascara. We're happy to discuss. And, you know, we bring you guys what we believe in and like beauty news, and we
on
just
that
keep
note,
it cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall we get off our soapboxes and talk about beauty?
Hold on. Okay.
So this week, oh my God, this episode is such a winner. First, we're going to talk about SPF affecting the way your makeup goes on.
Mm-hmm.
We've both had issues. And then we're also going to talk about dermaplaning and face shaving, correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's very hot right now. And then our guest, oh my God, you guys are going to love this. This is what the kind of thing my boss calls a reader pleaser. This is a real, a listener love, I don't know.
Listener lover?
Yeah. Okay. Freaking Ron Robinson, who is one of the biggest beauty chemists, cosmetic chemists in the world is here, and he's here to answer your questions. We fielded almost all the questions just from you guys. So hope you enjoy, and we want to have him back.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, betterhelp.com/mascara.
Jen, I have a rare and benign condition.
What is it?
Face dandruff.
That's probably a thing.
It probably is. But what I mean is I put on my skincare routine, which isn't very excessive. I think people are surprised to learn that like maybe an essence is like the craziest I go. Then I put my serum, one serum, and then I put my, you know, my moisturizer and then sometimes an SPF over it. But very often I just use a moisturizer that has SPF because I always get messed up when I put the SPF over the moisturizer and then put the foundation on.
What happens?
By the time I'm at work and I'm in the elevator and like the Hearst elevators have big mirrors, I notice that there's like little specks, little balls, like rubber cement balls all over the side of my face, sometimes in my hair, which is particularly gorgeous.
Remember I found one in your eyebrow once.
Like, oh, it was you just did little, the other
and I
day.
Was like, what is that?
Yeah, it looks like I don't clean myself.
Same thing happens to me, especially on the edges of my eyebrows. And we started talking about this when we were looking in the mirror. And I was like, but it really only happens in the summer. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I actually put on the extra step of an actual sunscreen in the summer when I'm outside.
And
more.
The more you rub it, the worse it gets.
It starts pilling and you get the little rubber cement.
I know.
Balls.
I know. Sometimes one time I had to start completely fresh at work. So what is this? What's going on?
Well, obviously, sunscreen doesn't play well with lots of other things. So I've been doing these experiments like all summer. My makeup has just been disappearing and I know it's not because of sweat. Like I'm in regular air conditioning. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. And I realized all the different sunscreens I've used, because I'm always testing, are messing with my makeup and making it slip. So I was like, okay, I need to switch to a primer, right? Mm-hmm. So I tried all the primers with the SPF. It still doesn't work.
Like the Chanel one's really good. Have you tried the Chanel one?
What is it?
It's like a UV.
The Shaky Shaky?
Yeah, Shaky Shaky.
And that's a primer?
That's a primer, if they still make it. I used it a long time ago and I loved it. I've just never, like, you know, had it again.
Okay, so I've been doing the experiment. So far, the only thing that I put it on and then my makeup stayed didn't have SPF. But can I tell you what it was?
What was it?
It was Dior Backstage Face and Body Primer.
Oh, wow.
And you know what's funny? My favorite foundation is Dior. It's the Nude Air Serum.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wonder if it's because they were developed to play nice together. That would make sense.
Maybe.
But then I use the Dior primer with my other foundations that I like, that new Shiseido one I told you about with the Flex technology that's coming out. And then I also use it sometimes with, what's the other one? Oh, a Dermalogica tinted moisturizer. And it does well with all of them. It makes it last around more.
So most days I've spoken about this, I really use the Kiehl's Super Multi-Corrective Cream SPF 30. It's in the dark purple jar.
Oh, yeah, you did say that.
That's my one and done. And then I wait a little while. Waiting is key. I go do something
else.
Oh, I'm
good at waiting.
I put it on, then I go do something else. There's always something to do in the morning. It's the fragrance. It's the shoes. It's the pack the bag, whatever.
That might be
try it. Waiting. But I also, Jeff brought me back. He was in Japan for work. He brought me back some Japanese sunscreen just to, like, you know, play around with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make a sweeping statement, but I know that we've spoken about how Japanese Asian SPF technology is far superior.
And they have the actives like Emascul or whatever that one is that we're not allowed to use here in the States.
Well, I couldn't read it, but I'm using one that's an SPF 50 because Kiehl's has SPF 30, the cream. I'm using this separate one that I top on top of my moisturizer like a dream.
And then you can still put foundation on and it
like
doesn't.
Like a dream.
Okay, so I think you might, I'm going to put on the sunscreen and, like, step away from the mirror because I'm always in a rush and I slap on the makeup right after. I think that's definitely key.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll try the Kiehl's.
Jen, there's a hot new trend in skincare.
What?
Dermaplaning. It's really not that new.
Where have you been for the last 5 years?
It's not that new. I just couldn't think of another intro.
You guys, have you heard? If we were telling our listeners, have you heard about dermaplaning? They'd be like,
next. Yeah,
next.
Exactly. Unsubscribe.
But what? You got new info for me?
So I've just been a little, you know, as dermaplaning has gotten bigger, and as you guys know, dermaplaning is when either you go into a spa or a doctor's office or have one of these home devices. It's like a little tiny razor blade, not scary, and you use it to shave the vellus hair off your face. And it also takes a lot of...
Vellus?
I think it's called vellus.
It absolutely is. She means the non-puberty forming hair. So like peach fuzz.
Peach fuzz.
Like this isn't the armpit hair, pubic hair.
Yeah,
that's a different kind of hair.
This isn't for like a full grown...
Vellus hair. That's my girl knowing some vocab. Okay.
So funny. So it takes off that vellus hair, and it obviously with it goes some dead skin cells. And the result is radiant, smooth skin. Your makeup goes on like butter, and it's just, you know, you're looking radiant. Now, there are some new devices out there. Some of them we've spoken about on the podcast
before.
Yeah,
I feel like when Dermaflash started getting popular, like, it's just entered the normal lexicon of, like, this is the thing you need.
Yeah. Urban Skin RX is doing a really cool set that is like a peel, like a retinol peel, but you use this little tiny razor. It's not mechanized like Dermaflash, but you manually kind of shave your face before putting on the peel. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of these things. Now, I had to know because some friends have been like, and beauty peeps have been like, I don't know if this is such a good idea. I asked Dr.
What, putting razor blades into the hands of untrained consumers? What could go wrong?
But to be fair, they're not like the razor blade. When I say razor blade, like something scary, like the little, like, you know, the scary one that you used to
cut
paper.
Yeah, it's not like an old-timey face, like, yeah, no.
Yeah. But it is a razor. So I talked to Dr. Dendy Engelman, and she took a pause. She thought about it. And she is a doctor, and I think she's very responsible. And she said, I really think that this sort of thing is best left in the hands of professionals because it can, doing this improperly, overzealously, and we know that people, you know,
if it works, why not do more?
Exactly. You say 5 minutes, how about 50? You know? So she is... has real concerns about the micro tears that you can put in the skin using one of these things. I've used Dermaflash before, loved it. So I've only had a positive experience. Mm-hmm. But I know that some people are like, you know, Like, they shouldn't be behind the behind a Dermaflash.
Yeah. Well, here's my word of warning, which I got from an expert, actually. Renee Rouleau, amazing facialist,
yeah, she's
in
big.
Austin, Texas. She worked on a story with us, maybe it was last year, about DIY dermatology. Mm-hmm. And she was saying some of them don't recommend, but this is key. You can't use that blade more than once. Even if it's like one of those tiny little razors and it's a throwaway, sorry, environment, you need to throw it away.
You know what's so funny? Dara, who is the founder of Dermaflash,
yeah.
When I think about my meetings with her, because I've met with her a few times,
yeah.
That's like one of like the first takeaway is look how great your skin looks. The second takeaway is you cannot use those razors more than
once. And it's not because she's trying to sell you more refills.
No.
It's truly like you're getting bacteria on there. They dull after
yeah.
time. So the facialists that do this, they're very clear about you can only use one once. And I would agree with you. Don't go trying to buy the pro treatments and use them yourselves. I do think some of these, like the Dermaflash has a plastic buffer on it. The Urban Skin RX is in a, like a plastic casing that holds the blade at the right angle. So mm-hmm. it's harder to mess up. But like wash your face first. You can't have moisturizer on. Take your time. Throw it out after.
Yeah.
But agree with Dr. Dendy, like, you can also go into the doctor's office and get this done by a professional.
Right. But many of us don't have the time the funds to do that. So I love that these devices exist. I just think, you know, read the instructions. When I opened my Dermaflash, it was like, I didn't do this before work. I did this on a Sunday. That was like some self-care time. And, you know, and my result was better. You need to really be thoughtful about it. And less is more. Don't try to keep going if you think you got it all.
Just like shave your whole face
yeah,
away.
Yeah, just slow your roll. Wait till next week.
Got it.
We are here with Ron Robinson, a cosmetic chemist and also the founder of BeautyStat Cosmetics. He is a trusted resource for beauty editors like Jen and I for years.
Years.
Jen
I interviewed you years ago.
Yes, right?
You're not like, that old, but.
You were, I know, you look amazing, but you really are like one of the first cosmetic chemists I ever emailed, and I email you, I feel like, almost the most.
Yeah, we do chat a lot, so I appreciate the engagement, and it's great to finally meet you in person, Jessica.
Oh,
really
likewise,
is.
Likewise. So we're going to get to know you a little bit,
okay?
And then you were so kind, you agreed to answer some of our listener questions. Thanks, guys, you're awesome. Welcome to Fat Mascara, Ron.
Yay,
welcome.
Thank you for
Isn't
having me.
Isn't it nice to meet me too?
It's great to meet you, Jessica. Absolutely. Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So, okay, you are a cosmetic chemist, but you're one of the few who, I think I speak for Jen too, we can name firsthand. You know, it's like makeup artists or hairstylists, where, like, there's really just a finite amount that beauty editors call on. How did you get to be this person?
I think when I've worked at a lot of big companies. I started as a cosmetic chemist for Clinique and worked there for many years and then moved into other product development roles at Lauder, L'Oreal, Revlon, Avon, et cetera. So after spending so much time and then leaving that the brand side to start a beauty stat, all of a sudden a lot of editors reached out and said, hey, Ron, you're not, you know, you're independent. You could be a resource for us. And then it started from there. That's how it all began.
Awesome. And when I think of cosmetic chemists, I really do think it's, as I was just introducing you, it's so crazy that we, you know, Jen and I, and I speak for all beauty editors here, like we don't profile them in the same way we do other folks in the industry. And we really don't know a lot of the people who are making the stuff. Instead, we're talking to the marketing person or the founder. And not that that's not appropriate. It just feels like there's something missing. So I was thinking about this a little bit and I was like, well, we saw a shift just a few years ago with fragrance, where now it's like the perfumers are the stars, mm-hmm. the guys cooking up or ladies cooking up the juice.
Yep.
Do you think there's any hope for skincare that we can get people like yourself out and more in the forefront?
I think it's a trend. I really do.
You do?
I do. Because basically a lot of celebrities, influencers are starting their own lines or mm-hmm. at least becoming more vocal. So I think we're going to see more chemists step out as well.
Oh, like they're going to want the chemists for credibility?
Credibility, authority, and some chemists like myself might even launch and introduce their own line.
Right.
That's a good segue.
Yes. So you just launched some products that are fantastic. The vitamin C, the barrier cream, right?
Yep, that's correct.
So these are the two that we're starting with.
Yes.
And this is BeautyStat.
Yeah. BeautyStat Cosmetics Universal C Skin Refiner. That's our breakthrough patented stable vitamin C, 20% pure vitamin C, as well as our Universal Pro Bio Moisture Boost Cream. Two SKUs. Clinically tested, fantastic results in 4 weeks, and consumers seem to be really loving it.
Okay, we're calling it now, like, cosmetic chemists are the new derms and facialists.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, remember all the facialist
right.
headlines?
Yes, right. Yep.
And then the derms.
Yep.
You're the first.
This is your moment.
Yep.
Okay, so Beauty Stat we're excited about, but even more excited to ask you questions.
Yes.
Okay, so just so you guys know, we sourced these from our Instagram and from our Facebook page. And if you are not a member yet, go to the episode recap and you can join our Facebook fan page. Ron, you can join also if
it's
you haven't
already. But we'll let you in.
Okay.
We'll let you in. Okay.
Appreciate it.
So are you ready? First up, this
yes,
is perfect.
Ready.
It's about vitamin C.
Yeah.
So how do you know if a vitamin C product is effective? We hear all sorts of things like it depends on the color of the bottle, the color of the product, the smell, what ingredients it's combined with. Give us your expert opinion.
My perspective on vitamin C is the consumer needs to do two things. They need to check to make sure there's clinical testing results from an independent testing lab. They mm-hmm. should look for that. And two, check reviews to make sure the product's not shifting in color or in terms of odor, because those are cues that the product might be oxidizing and may not deliver its results from the first use to the last.
Does that mean it wasn't formulated to be stable? Is that not good for your skin?
Well, basically, it's not going to be effective if the product is oxidizing.
So if it changed color, that means it's not working as
It's not working as well. Basically,
the
vitamin C is no longer active. It's been rendered inactive and therefore not being able to deliver results. So
don't they all change color, though, a little bit?
Not ours.
Okay.
But yes, a lot on the market, they do shift color.
Yeah, I need to pay closer attention.
Yeah, so consumers, again, look for clinical testing. And two, make sure that they read reviews to make sure that that particular product is not shifting color, oxidizing, and thus becoming inactive.
And what about the product jar? Does it matter if it's airless, if it's glass? I've heard it should be glass, not plastic.
Yes, vitamin C is a very sensitive ingredient, so it does oxidize in the presence of air or light. So the product should be in a well-contained, almost airless type of package, so therefore it doesn't get, no oxygen can get in, or opaque, so no light, gets to it and helps and makes it shift color.
Okay. And the last thing, I think you sort of touched on this, but does it need to be in the presence of another thing? Like, do you need it with vitamin E in order to make it work better?
Well, when I formulate a product, I want to make sure there's maybe multiple ingredients I might put in it in order to get a synergistic effect, if you will, to make sure the product really delivers. So a good formulator may use multiple ingredients. But again, at the end of the day, it's that testing. Does the product have clinical testing results that really shows from a third party that it delivers results?
Would they be on the website? Like, where would you find those?
On the product.
The brand.
Package copy, the brand website. If they have it and the results are good, they would show it.
Oh,
ooh.
Interesting.
So what about, not to slag off the little guys, but the little brands, maybe they can't afford to do that kind of testing. Do you think that it's just kind of like them's the breaks for them? Or do you feel like...
If that's the case, then I think the consumer could rely on reviews.
Okay.
And basically rely on their peers to say, okay, did they use it and did they see good results? And then that could be one way to vet.
So because clinical testing is pretty expensive, right?
It's very expensive. It's very expensive.
So another controversial topic, vitamin C was one. The second most popular thing was the essential oils. Mm. Are they bad or are they good? We've had guests come on who are definitively anti-essential oil, mm-hmm. and then we have some that, are just putting them in their products, really proudly. So what's your take on this whole thing?
My take is this. When you think about essential oils, they're really comprised of fragrance components. It's basically a lot of different fragrance elements inside one oil.
Okay.
So when you think about a consumer that wants a product that's geared for sensitive skin, usually it's fragrance-free.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the reason why it's fragrance-free is because fragrance contains a lot of different types of chemicals, and a lot of them can be irritating to those.
Even natural fragrances.
Even natural.
So those
especially
aroma
natural.
Chemicals in there
yes,
are irritating.
Can be irritating, yes. So that's why people opt for the fragrance-free option, because they know, hey, I'm sensitive to that. I wish they would launch a fragrance-free version, which a lot of brands do, to address those that have sensitive skin.
And what if it's not like a lavender essential oil, it's something like rose hip that's like used as an active oil, or is that different?
Yeah, that's another good point. That's one way some brands kind of get around having a nice scent mm-hmm. in the product. So they might pick an ingredient like chamomile, if you will. So chamomile has a primary benefit of helping to soothe and calm irritated skin. The side benefit is that it has a nice scent to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not in there necessarily as a fragrance, but it's there to help really serve a benefit of calming skin.
So what I hear you saying is it's not a black and white issue. It depends on the oil and your skin.
On your skin. So if you're really sensitive, if you have really sensitive skin, you shouldn't use essential oils.
That's so funny because a lot of the brands that are like, it's natural and clean for sensitive skin are the ones that are fragrancing them with essential oils instead of synthetic fragrances.
Right.
Do you think these companies just lack the knowledge, or do you think that they're trying to have it always?
I think they want to give the consumer a great experience, and scent is a part of that to a big extent. So they're about giving a nice, really luxurious scent, and they use oils to get there.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, next up, just giving it to you straight, are the expiration dates on products real? What does that mean, real? Yeah. I love our listeners.
That may have been my paraphrasing. Are they real?
Well, I think cosmetic and beauty products you don't have to put an expiration date. It's not a prescription. You don't. But consumers kind of want to gauge, like, does this last a year, 6 months? My feeling, and I've done a lot of interviews about expiration dates, and my feeling is that we typically formulate a product to last about 1 to 2 years maximum, and that the clock starts ticking once you open up the product.
Okay.
However, it could vary depending on the type of product. An eye product, a mascara or something, where you're using around the eye area, that you want to toss after 3 to 6 months. Because again, it's close to your eye. It's a very sensitive area where you're applying the product. So you don't want to be using that, the same mascara, a year and a half later.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to toss those things. Common sense. Store your products in a cool, dry environment. Close your jars tightly. Cap your your tubes tightly. And store your product. Don't leave your caps open. Don't leave things in a hot, humid bathroom all the time.
Oh,
so
dear.
I just realized why people might ask that too. I think they think, this company's just trying to sell me more. Like, it still works after a year and I still have some left. They're just trying to throw it out and buy a new one, which maybe that is the case, but that might be why someone asks about it. Do you find that to be true?
I do find that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brands are not really, they're not trying to, they really would rather be safe, really be safe.
Than buy more.
Yes, and buy more.
Okay.
So that's
it was after like 12 months, it's not that suddenly like my Chanel cream has gone from being effective to ineffective. There's just a degradation that happens after that.
It's not like
it's black and white. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not like it's black and white. Like, it's good and then it turned bad.
Right.
It's not milk,
Right. It's going to be gradual.
Okay.
And then the other cues you could pick up. Is it starting to dry out? Is it starting to separate?
Mm-hmm.
Is it shifting color? Does this odor starting to turn a little bit? Those are cues. Toss it.
So my bathroom gets really hot and humid, and all of my nice luxury skincare is in there. It sounds like I got to take it out.
Yeah, or put an air conditioner in.
Oh my God, it gets so hot. Well, you know, I don't have central AC. It's an old building. but now I'm thinking of when I go home, I want to start bringing things to my dresser.
Where do you store your products,
yeah,
Ron?
I store them in the bathroom as well, but I'm careful.
Does
I know
he has central AC?
Yeah. I wish. No, I'm in the same old apartment. No, seriously. No, it's you want to make sure it's closed properly, and you have to do your best, and then be conscious of when it's time to really toss that product.
Okay. So, here's another big one. I'm surprised I didn't open up with this. What's your take on parabens?
Parabens, okay.
Yeah.
I've formulated with parabens, I've been doing this for a long time. I've formulated some of the early products that I've developed with parabens. They've been fine. However, we're in an environment now where one study comes out with data that is a little bit scary. Consumers, they run with it, and they actually demand that the manufacturers, hey, I don't want my product to have that.
Is there that study though?
There are some studies.
What are
about
people like blowing out a report? Like, what is that study?
Yeah, what's the study?
The study is about that it may have some negative impact on
which type
on
of
hormone,
paraben.
On hormone. Well, I think it's all of them. There's methyl butyl paraben, those types of parabens, and there's some studies that's showing that it may have some bad effects on hormones.
And they're in humans, tests.
And these are,
so they could be like endocrine disruptors.
Yes, correct.
And then what if we hear from someone like, but parabens are what are in plants. It's what keeps plants preserved. It's a natural part of the world. Can we feel safer when we hear something like that?
Well, again, not everything that's natural when it's applied to our skin, it is necessarily going to be safe. So the good news is that we have a lot of alternatives to preserve our products that don't require parabens. So the industry is basically, they've given in. They've said, okay, consumers, we know you don't want parabens any longer. Mm-hmm. We've moved on. They're out. We're using other ingredients that are safe and that are effective.
So just for ultimate clarity, do you think parabens are really bad? And then I have a follow-up.
I personally do not.
To your family, would you give them a product with parabens?
I would. I would feel comfortable doing that.
Okay, family test.
Yes, yeah, that's true. I would feel comfortable doing that. However, now that we've now moved into other ingredients, mm-hmm. there's no need to.
So that's perfect setup for my second question. How many, since parabens, you said, when you started working, you were doing stuff with parabens. Are they even in that many things anymore?
Not anymore. The companies have now removed them.
Even if they don't lead with the paraben-free messaging, right?
Correct.
Okay, because I was looking in my medicine cabinet and I noticed that very few, if any, of my products said paraben-free. And I'm like, oh, am I the last holdout? But then I was talking to someone and they said, well, the parabens aren't really they might not say it, but every company's taken them out.
Right.
Right. So thought that was reassuring. Yeah. I mean, I'm not terrified of parabens, and I'm less so just from this conversation, but it's interesting. You don't need to necessarily look for that to feel completely safe.
You don't. And again, companies have moved on to other ingredients, so it's not like there's alternatives out there, basically.
Okay, this brings us to another question that comes up a lot from our listeners about quote-unquote clean beauty.
Yes.
So I wanted to know, what's your take on the trend? What does clean mean to you? But then also, are there any other ingredients you are concerned about, even though parabens might not be one of them?
Yes, yeah, certainly the formaldehyde one, that's clear.
Okay.
That's a clear. We know it's unanimous that everyone agrees that should be out. So that's that. So I'm there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Other ingredients, I guess my take on clean movement is that a lot of brands talk to clean, meaning what's clean, the ingredients inside they claim are clean, but yet their product isn't a plastic package.
And what does that do to?
So I'm like, you're clean on the inside, but you're dirty on the outside.
Do you mean just for
that's funny.
You mean for environmental reasons, or because the plastic is leaching something into the product?
No, for environmental
okay,
reasons.
Gotcha,
yes,
gotcha.
Yes. Yeah, because some of the clean movement is environmentally focused. So it's both. It's both potentially irritating and then also potentially mm-hmm. not green.
I get it. But back to the clean thing. So you said formaldehyde, obviously. But if you look at these, they call them the no-no lists
right.
for a lot of these brands that call themselves clean. Some of them run 20, 30, 40 products or ingredients long that they
yeah.
won't include. Is this just marketing hype or, is this where the whole industry is going?
I think the industry is going two places at the same time. Some are forging ahead, clean, clean, clean.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you where I am. I'm on performance, performance, performance.
Yes, from Robinson.
So that's basically where I am. And where one ingredient that could be on some people's dirty list,
yeah, that's what it's called.
Is silicones.
Okay.
Silicones, they're derived from sand.
Silica, yes,
silica. Yes.
Yeah.
From sand. So basically we take sand and basically we're able to synthesize silicone out of sand. But it's gotten a really bad rap in some circles, and that's one of those ingredients. Some people define it as not clean and others say it's okay.
Yeah. And that's what gives products a nice slip, right?
There's nothing else like it.
I used a vitamin C serum the other day that did not have silicone. And it dragged on my face. I was like, why does this feel like that? And then I realized it was probably the lack of silicone. I don't have a problem with silicone, but some people, I think we talked about this on the show at one point, if they don't like it, that's fine. But I don't want to sit on the mic and say that it's going to kill you.
Right.
Right?
What
yeah.
is, if you look on a dirty list, what would be the reasoning for no silicone? Have you ever found one that makes sense?
More environmentally than anything.
Mm. Because it's bad for the environment, the process of making the silicone.
Oh, the process of where it goes. It's rinsed down the sink and everything.
So what happens when it's rinsed down the sink?
Poor little turtles.
Yeah.
Maybe
is it and this question is, but is it building up? Is it damaging to the environment? And I'm not there. I believe that it does recycle in its own way, not to the extent of something like paper, but I think it does recycle.
So we're not going to have a Fatberg made of silicone in the Pacific Ocean soon.
Right. I don't think we're going there.
And as far as your skin goes, it doesn't clog pores?
It does not clog pores. Okay. And again, it's about texture. The texture is just, there's nothing like it.
So our listeners, as you could tell from these questions, are very, they really prioritize, like, you know, information, and they're very savvy about, you know, seeking out the latest studies. Where is the best place, like, where's the ultimate resource for our listeners and consumers in general to research ingredients?
I think I'd like to recommend two places. Well, really one place, Wikipedia. Seriously, what I like about Wikipedia, it's monitored, it's peers, it's experts working as a group. You can't go in with a bias because someone will check you.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah, because a lot of people, they have, you know, they go to, and this is no shade or anything, like Environmental Working Group, and they go to Beautypedia, or they go to Joe Schmo's blog, and that's like they come waving their study.
Right.
But Wikipedia,
this might be a good time
balanced
to remind that .org does not officially make you a non-biased resource, isn't that right?
And that's my feeling. Wikipedia, again, what I recommend, it's constantly being updated. So it's not something that's static, where someone's site, what it says 5 years ago, may be the same thing today.
That's interesting.
That's true, because you're always having new research come out. Have you ever edited a Wikipedia entry, Ron?
I'm not a Wikipedia editor, but that's what I do. I do love the fact that it's constantly being fact-checked.
And you can see. I edited once, and I
did you?
It was famous people's birthdays, and it was like the day, so I put my friend's name in it, who is not famous, and sent the link, and I was like, happy birthday, you're on Wikipedia. And I was like, how long will it last?
They checked you.
Like 4 hours later, one of the editors was like, this person isn't famous, delete.
My friend just tried to put a scary ghost story to scare a friend on the way up to like an upstate house
in a Wikipedia entry.
Oh, like that this town was where like 80 children were like murdered. Like,
how long did it last?
Like a second. We should have screenshot.
They are quick
because he's very afraid of like ghosts. He was spooked out by like the whole environment of like
funny,
you know, like upstate, like no street lamps, all that,
the paraben ghosts of upstate New York.
Anyway, so don't make that mistake. We wasted a lot of time.
Okay, that's excellent advice. So speaking about ingredients in particular, if you use a product with retinol or a retinoid, which has somewhat of an exfoliating effect, and you also like an exfoliating acid, like say glycolic, do you need to sort of rotate or alternate them, or can you use those at the same time? Are you going to burn your face off? How's it work?
Well, the skin can multitask.
So,
you could throw a couple, throw a bunch of things at it, and it'll do. Oh, hydroxy acids. Okay, I'll exfoliate. Oh, retinol. Oh, I'll speed up the cell turnover. Oh, this, you know, so it could do multiple things. But why would you want to do that? You know, if you have a certain concern, beauty concern, skin concern, I recommend one treatment at a time. In other words, you have one step that's going to be your targeted treatment. So after cleansing, you know, whatever that product is, whatever that serum is that's targeting or addressing your concern, use that at that time. Then follow with your moisturizer, SPF.
Ron, we got lots of concerns. What if our list is like five concerns?
So you have day and night. Hopefully everyone's cleansing their skin day and night, and that's your time to then use the other one if you feel you have another need that needs to be addressed. So that's what I recommend.
So do you think it's like really crazy when people are like, I take my three serums and I mix them all together and then I pat them on my face? Or like, I'm a K-beauty person, I have 10 steps with 30 different actives.
Right. Yeah, I recommend to simplify it a little bit. As I said, your skin can multitask, it can do, but why would you? And especially if your skin is more sensitive, and you'd really want to know what's working and what's not. And if you're mixing everything, then it's just hard to tell.
That's a good point to talk about. Like, you might want to introduce one at a time too, I'm guessing.
Yep, so you do.
And how long do you have to give it before you're like, okay, this one didn't work, moving on?
Well, give it the time that the brand recommends. There's some directions in terms of, are we going to see something in 2, 4, 6 weeks? And then, you know, follow it and then judge after that.
So this is a related question about mixing ingredients. Can products, quote unquote, or ingredients cancel each other out? I love this. We got so many of this.
So many people think this.
I think it too sometimes. I'm like, okay, is my glycolic killing my, I don't know, my rose hip oil, my retinol?
No, again, your skin can multitask, and there are few ingredients that really cancel or neutralize each other. So
this is such an urban myth,
right? Yeah, so you're really fine. But again, why do you need to throw so much at your skin at one time? Use one treatment product, maybe two, to really get the benefit out of it. And then use the other step or your other type of product at another time of day.
Okay. And if you're worried that, like, you said there was a couple of things that might not cancel, isn't it true that you put it on and give it a minute to absorb or so, and then you'd still be fine to put on the other one?
You do. You want it to absorb because, you know, if you want it to at least dry down a little bit so that you could apply the next one and smoothly, evenly.
Oh, without, like, pilling
yes.
or anything.
Yep.
Okay. Last question from our listeners before we have our own question. Are products that claim to prevent quote-unquote blue light damage necessary, or are there other protective products we're already using that takes care of that? Like, what's up with this blue light trend?
I think the blue light, it's a little bit of marketing to some extent. My feeling is that more research needs to be done in terms of whether the blue light from our devices is actually causing any damage. I think more research needs to happen there.
Because we all feel like, oh my God, I stare at a computer all day and
right.
it's just like killing
yeah.
me with the invisible rays.
A lot right. of big companies are putting, like, you know, ones with big budgets and R&D, they're talking about blue light production. So I figured this is really legit. You're not completely convinced yet.
Well, are they talking blue light from... that comes from the sun because
no.
it is. It,
no,
it,
they're talking
tech.
About
tech,
they're from tech, from devices.
Tech protection.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just picked up my phone. I don't know why
okay.
I thought.
Because you want to
tell
a blue light.
You want to tell.
Yeah.
Sure, that's
yeah.
a good point, which is it's a wavelength that you're naturally getting from UV light
yeah.
and you want to protect from UV light.
Right.
That we know for sure,
that
right?
We know. Yes, that
okay.
we know. So that's a concern. I think that what's unknown is to what extent is there damage coming from my phone or computer screen.
Interesting.
Okay. Cool.
Now we get to ask our own question.
Okay.
Go, Jeff.
So we want to know, I mean, you're the authority, you're the expert. What's in your job kit? What skincare products are you using every day?
Oh, my gosh.
You look great.
I use so much.
You have to see this man.
I use so much. And also.
You just told us to simplify.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
I'm testing. I test a lot. I've tested
things.
So it's kind of different in that respect, but.
Let's get into it.
Okay,
Tell
let's
us.
Get into it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm testing are new products that we plan to launch under BeautyStat Cosmetics. So that's what I've been busy testing more than anything these days.
Okay, before you decide to launch your own company, what were some of your go-tos?
A lot of the products that a lot of beauty editors have been sending me to assess.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. Can you name, now that you no longer work there, any products you ever developed for a big famous company? Are you still, like, under an NDA or something?
Oh, no, I could tell you. No,
tell me.
I developed a lot of the early Clinique turnaround products. I developed
oh,
a lot
cool.
of those.
So turnaround for eyes?
Turnaround for eyes, face, oily skin. So I developed a lot of those early products. So,
neat.
So that was my big, you know, development heyday for Clinique. And then others at Avon and L'Oreal and Lancôme.
You have some Anou products
big
in
ones.
Anou, did a lot of Anou products.
These are good staples.
I miss those pads. They had
peels.
Two pads.
Yes, that's a bestseller. They're the Anou retexturizing peel.
Do they still make them?
Yes, they still make
those. Those were so good.
One of the things that I worked on was taking that from a two-step to a one-step. We didn't have to do the neutralizing step in the peel. We were able to do it all in one, so it simplified the experience for consumers.
Very cool.
You're a genius. I need to, can we just, like, keep you in our pocket?
I know.
Questions
you might be on call. You might
I'd love to come back. This is so much fun. Thank
this
you.
This was great. We'll get 10 more questions. We'll have you back next year.
Okay.
No problem.
Great.
Thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you so much.
Bye,
really
Ron.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honeylove came along. Honeylove's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honeylove products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing
that's good.
Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
First of all, before we raise the wand, there's no way we can't have Ron Robinson back on this podcast.
I love him.
We need 10 more questions. I want to hear his life story. Like, I'm calling it now. He's going to be like another. He's going to be a repeat guest.
What did you guys think of it? Let me know what you thought of the episode. And
yes, please.
Yeah, because I'm genuinely curious because we are so excited about this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, raise a wand.
So this is corny, but I'm raising a wand to Eric Sullivan, my husband. But it has to do with my butt acne.
Aww.
I'm going to round out the summer. A lot of people have been DMing me. People I see in my life, they're like, how's the butt acne doing? Because I know I've been talking about it all summer.
God.
So I raise a wand to Eric because he finally noticed that it's getting better.
Oh, that's sweet. Men don't notice anything.
He hasn't noticed all along. As you guys know, the two winning products that really cleared me up were the Hiba Cleanse Cleanser,
okay,
which gets rid of all sorts of bacteria because it's a surgical wash. I'll put a link on the episode and on the blog. And then Skin Fix AHA Body Cream. So I'm taking care of both the keratosis pilaris, the folliculitis, and if there was some P. acnes in there, which there probably wasn't, it's good. So he was just like lightly touching me, nothing sexual. And he goes, your butt feels different. I was like, because it's not bumpy. Like he didn't,
yeah,
even, he didn't realize until it was gone. But I'm going to stop talking about my butt acne. The summer is over. I'm done with it. It's cured. Raise a wand to my husband for putting up with me.
Raise a wand to Eric. He is a total mensch.
And by the time you listen to this, he and I will be in our honeymoon. So there you go. What are you raising a wand to?
All right. I'm calling this one. I'm going to start calling these If You're Rich. Okay?
Okay.
If you're rich. Jen and I went to the Sizzly Paris foundation launch like about 2 months ago. It was a rainy morning. It was a wonderful launch.
Oh my God, they had really good breakfast.
Oh my God, it was at Shuba.
The French fried potatoes.
What is it called? Shuka. Yeah. Ooh. Oh my God, the French toast with the chocolate. Yes.
Yeah, that was
I went
your favorite.
Ham.
No. You did.
Yeah, so raise a wand to Shuka down, I think it's on McDougal Street. Their food is freaking amazing. Okay, but what I really want to talk about is that they launched their Phytotan, ultra eclat, oil
Sister
free.
French.
Yeah.
Your French just sounds like tired.
Yeah. I'm trying to sound blasé and nonchalant. Like,
with a je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, like it's Julie Delpy.
Okay, Phytotan. Sizzly. Go ahead.
Okay, Phytotan, ultra eclat, oil-free, long-lasting foundation.
Why do you love it?
Okay, first of all, this thing's $95, but I'll tell you why. It's worth every penny. I had to put it on with a beauty blender because it's very pigmented. So if I put it on with my fingers, I feel like it looks kind of patchy or like it's picking up some of my vellus hair. But I use a beauty blender, really soak it up, squeeze it out, and then put a few dabs of the Phyto on. And I tap
onto the blender.
Onto the blender.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how I've been using it. I don't know if that's fine. The appropriate way. And I pat it on. It really gave me, I wanted coverage. So if you don't really want coverage, it's not like a stage makeup, like 1993. Well, it says it's light coverage.
Oh.
But maybe I just like, I'm
but
so used
But the French version of light coverage, am I wrong here? French light coverage is like American medium coverage.
I would say it's medium.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you can control it with the blender and how much. So I don't get hung up on how much coverage. But I definitely felt like my skin was perfected. It felt glowy. It didn't feel powdery to the finish after. But it didn't feel like, oh, God, this is going to slide off my face by, you know, 11:30, like a lot of tinted moisturizers can do. Also, I've been on tinted moisturizer kick for like the past, I would say, at least 9 months. So this was kind of like a shock to the system. Like, oh, I can look nicer.
Oh, like
so,
stepping up your coverage. More perfected.
Yeah,
more
profesh. More profesh. And it was a great base for my bronzer. I put a little liquid highlighter. And my friend Sam at work, she said to me, she's like, what's going on today? What did you do differently? You look younger and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, really, the only thing I switched up was this foundation. So
nice.
If you live by a Sizzly counter, it's definitely worth popping over and getting a hit, but you might be addicted. And I'm sorry, it's very expensive.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.